Avram ben Leah. Vayi yuchaye Sara meya shana v'yesrim shana v'sheva shanim shnei chaye Sara. The Torah tells us that the life of Sarah was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. Everyone knows the famous question, that why doesn't it say that Sarah lived 127 years? So Rashi says that when she was 100, she was like 20. When she was 20, she was like 7. Now we know that a person who is 20 gets judged by Shemayim. So she said that when she was 20, she was like a 7-year-old. The 7-year-old has no Averis. So just like that, when she was 20, she had no Averis. When she was 100, she was like she was 20. And I saw in the Zohar this week that Sarah, Imenu, reached a perfect Tmimus, a perfect time. And she fixed all the spheres in all the worlds. So when she left, she was Tomim. She was perfect. Now, Shnei Chayei Sarah, Rashi says, Kulam Shavim L'Tovah. They weren't all equal in good, because it says she only lived 37 years that were good. When she was 90, she had Yitzchak. So Rashi doesn't mean that they were all great years. He means that in those 127 years, she lived a good life. And that's really what we all need to try to do. We need to try to use our years and use it, you know, for the right things, not for the wrong things. So I want to focus on a very interesting Rashi. The Rashi says the following. In the Torah it says in the next pasuk, "Vatamas Sarah v'kiras Abba, she died in Kiras Abba, he Chevron." This week, whoa! This week you can't get into Chevron on Shabbos. This Shabbos, Chai Sarah, by the Maaseh Machpelah, they have hundreds of minyanim. People camp out. This is the big week for Chevron, because Sarah's buried, and that's when Avraham Avinu bought the Maaseh Machpelah, this week's parasha. Okay, so the pasuk says, "Vayavoy Avram." Avraham came, lispoid l'sara v'lipchaisa, to say a hespid on Sarah and to cry for her. Now the word, if you look in the Torah and you look in Chumash, the word v'lipchaisa, the chaf is very small. Why is the chaf very small? So Rashi says that the reason we find the parsha of Sarah dying and the parasha of the Arkad, I want to read it to you inside. V'nitzmecha misa Sarah l'Arkadas Yitzchak l'fi, she'ayidei b'siras ha'Arkadah, because the Satan came and he told her about the Arkadah, she'nizbam b'no l'shchita, that her son was prepared to be shechted, u'kama'at sh'loi nishchat, and almost, but he wasn't shechted. Pocha nishmasim imenu u'mesa. Now, when I was a kid, I learned this Rashi, and I thought that she had a heart attack. That he told her that your son was about to die, and he was saved, and she had a heart attack. That doesn't make sense. Because if she would have said your son was about to die, and he died, you have a heart attack. Say someone, your son was about to die, but he's alive, right? You don't have a heart attack. So that's wrong. That's wrong. Because Sarah Imenu wasn't the kind of woman that's going to die because she thinks her son's being shechted. That's not what's going on over here. What's going on over here, so there's two pshatim on this. One is what I said to you last week, and that fits into Rashi perfectly, that Rav Chaim Vital says over from the Zayar, that he already had shechted one of the two pipes, that Avram already had shechted the food pipe, he hadn't shechted the wind pipe, right? So the Malachim had taken Yitzchak up to the next world. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that what did she see? She saw Kim'at, right? Shaloi Nishchat. Kim'at, he almost was totally shechted. He wasn't totally shechted. What does that mean, he wasn't totally shechted? Yeah, only one of the pipes was shechted. So she saw that he wasn't totally shechted. So Pacha Nishmasu Meis, a beautiful verb. So she loved Yitzchak very much. She wanted to be with him. So she saw that when she was almost shechted, the Malachim came and took her to the next world. When the Malachim took her to the next world, she said, my son is very damaged. He was very damaged. I saw this week that he wasn't 2 years, he was 3 years. This is machlokes, if he was 2 years or 3 years, because it makes sense that he was 3 years, because it says that Rivka was born at that second. So Rivka was 3 years old when she met him in the field. So it's mashma that he was there for 3 years. But Sarah Imenu said, I want to be with Yitzchak. They said, if you want to be with Yitzchak, you can go to Gan Eden, but you can't take your body to Gan Eden. You have to go just your neshama. So the lashon of Rashi is that Pocha Nishmasa Mimena, her neshama left her, right, umesa, and she died. most of us, what happens? This is not what happens. Most of us die, and neshama leaves us. Here, her neshama left her, and then she died. What's going on over here? Because her neshama wanted to be in the. My Rav said this way. Rabbi Weinfeld said an amazing thing. Rabbi Weinfeld said that one of the tzaddikim said, "Why did she die?" She said, "How come I wasn't there? Why did Avram Avinu, he had the chance to do the akedah, and I didn't have the chance to do the akedah?" So she felt so bad. Thank you. She felt so bad that she wasn't part of the akedah that it killed her. She wanted to be part of the mitzvah. There's a lot of pshatim on this. There's a lot of dvartayus on this. But there's an amazing, and that's what I'm speaking about tonight. There's an amazing dvartayra on the small chaf. Why is there a small chaf? That's very derogatory. A guy loses his wife, and the Torah tells you, it didn't bother him much. He came to, he cried a little bit. Lubchai says, a little chaf. I mean, if we said that if we said that about you, chas v'shalom, after 120, the guy's 90 years old, his wife dies, and he doesn't cry much, that's not a good husband. So why didn't Avraham cry more? Why is there a small chaf? In our siddur, we have a siddur over here on the table. By the way, you were right about the Gemara. There's 903 misos.
Sure.
That's what it says. So, at night, tonight, by Ma'ariv, we say the following. We should rest in peace. We should get up in Chaim Tayyim Rishalom. And then we say, remove from us Aveno, enemies, Dever, disease, Cherev, sword, Rav, hunger, Yagan, Hasad, Vahaser, Satan. And you should remove the Satan, Milfanenu, from in front of us, Umeacharenu, and from in back of us. Who in this room has a satan behind him? Ever satan trying to get you from behind? Satan's in front of you. Watch this movie. Look at this girl. He's in front of you, He gives you the machshavas and the thoughts to do something wrong. He's not behind you. He's in front of you. Usually he hates the type that's behind you, way behind you. Because you ran away from him. Not because he ran away from you. Because you ran away from him, right? So what is this tefillah? You say it every night. What is this tefillah? This is so important. And a lot of guys in this room will understand exactly what I'm talking about, including myself. Let's say, we have a whole speech tonight about going to Minyan. Right? Every day, you get up late. And you finally decide tomorrow that you're going to get up early and you're going to go to Minyan. So you get up early and you're going to go to the 7 o'clock Minyan by Landau's. Right? You got up at 6 o'clock, you shaved, you showered, you got dressed, shined your shoes, brushed your teeth, brushed your hair, got your tefillin, Rabbi Wallstein, I'm changing my life. I'm going to be with that 7 o'clock minyan, right? And you get there at 5 to 7, of course there's no parking. And you're going around and around and around, and there's no parking. And you say, you know what? I'm parking at the pump. Okay, we're not going to say park at the pump because you're never allowed to park at the pump. Because if you're parking at a bus stop is a problem because of Chilul Hashem. I used to always park at bus stops all the time. Because who am I bothering? I'm parking at a bus stop. So all the way in the front, all the way in the back, what does it disturb? And people, the guy, they see a guy parking at a bus stop, and it's very not mannerly. And a bus stop is a place for people to wait to get on a bus. Why are you parking your car there? So it's a very big Chilul Hashem. So in my head, I came up with an idea that if there's no one waiting for the bus, then it's not such a big Chilul Hashem, which is wrong, because when you come out of the shul and you get into your car and there's people at the bus stop, it's such a big Chilul Hashem. So you shouldn't park at bus stops, right? Alternate side, that's your problem. You want to get a ticket, that's your problem. But a pump you're never allowed to park at. Because if Chas V'Shalom, you're parked at a pump and there's a fire and they can't get to that water, it takes extra time. They got to break your windows, they're going to break your windows, right? But it takes them extra time. And somebody dies, then you have a very big problem. Besides American law, in Jewish law, you're a grumma to the nezikin. You caused the nezik of 1 second of them getting the water. So you really never allowed to park at a pump. But let's say you didn't park at a pump. You just parked somewhere illegal. Because it's not your fault. You couldn't find a spot by Landau's. Okay. Now, you haven't gone to Minyan in 8 years. Right? This is your big step to get closer to Hashem. This is your major step. This is your move. Right, Wallstein, I went to your shit, changing my life, and you're going to change everything. You have ideas. You're going to go to Mincha and Ma'ariv. You're gonna stop this. You're gonna get this off your phone. You're gonna delete a couple of numbers off your phone. You're gonna delete some stuff off your computer. That's it. You're starting this morning. This is a new man. I'm a new man, right? You go to Davin. You come outside, and there he is, the sheriff. And you watch your car being towed. And you stand there and you say, I wish I wouldn't have gone to Minyan. I would have been home. The car would have been in my driveway every day. Now I lost half my day. I got to go to the impound. I got to pay $175 for the tow. I got to pay all my old tickets. You know what? I wish I would have never gone to Davin. That's the Satan me'alchreinu. Because in the next world, if you do something good and you feel bad about it, they erase what you did. So now, the Satan lost the fight with you. You went home. You set 12 alarm clocks. Your cell phone alarm clock, the alarm clock next to you. You call, dial, wake-up call. Your iPod's vibrating. It's like, there's no way I'm gonna do this, right? And all that, which is huge in Shemayim, in 1 second you lost because you said, I wish I wouldn't have done this. Look what happened. So the Satan is very smart. Even if he loses, he has a chance to still win by making you feel bad that you changed. Now, sometimes it's a long war. I deal with girls, and girls that went to Eretz Yisrael, and girls that worked so hard, really so hard, and they come back here, and they're religious, and they're looking for a good religious boy, and they really got their head on, really got their head on. And a year, and 2 years, and 3 years, and 4 years, and they're still dating, and they're not finding anybody. And all of a sudden, they start to think, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have gone to seminary. I wish that I wouldn't have become religious. All my friends that graduated in the co-ed school with me, they're all married. And they're all happy. And look at me. 6 years, I'm going to shir, I'm going to shul, I'm dressing tznius, and I don't have anybody. I wish I wouldn't have done this. I would be much happier if I wouldn't have done this. All 6 years, and all that seminary, and all that work, erased. Delete. Doesn't exist. And the Satan sits there and says, so I didn't get you up front, but I got you from behind. I got you to feel bad about what you did. And he's very, very smart at that. So even when you do a mitzvah, and you feel very good that you did the mitzvah, be careful. Be careful. Because he's going to try, and say, and your friends are going to call you and say, so you went to my room, you didn't want to come with us to the movie? Oh man, if you would have met who we met, and you're thinking to yourself, I shouldn't have gone tonight to a minyan. You lost your minyan. I shouldn't have gone to learn this morning. You know, you work in a real estate office. I know a guy, he learns in the morning in Mir Yeshiva, he learns for 3 hours. He says, you don't know how many times I come into the real estate office. He gives up 3 hours in the morning of work in real estate. He says, so many times I come into the real estate office, and they're already talking. It's 3 hours into the day, right? It's like 12 o'clock. And they're all talking about the deals they made that morning. And I feel like, for 1 second, like, oh, if I wouldn't have gone to Yeshiva, I would have had a deal. Boom, you lost the whole morning. Lost the whole morning. If that's how you look at it, that's me'achreinu. So we daven every night. We go to sleep. It's a beautiful word. So why do you say this at night? Say it in the morning. Say it in the morning. Because at night when you go to sleep, you think about everything you did that day. And that's the last second for that day that the Yetzer Hara can get you. You beat him. You beat him 10 times. You beat him 10 times. You don't talk to girls anymore. Right? You beat him 10 times. All of a sudden your friend says, hey, guess who I met today? Guess who called me? Right? And you're like, oh man, why did I give this up? It's all gone. So the last second of the day, when you review your day, you have to say a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you go to sleep. Hashem, I don't want to feel bad about the good I did today. I don't want to lose it. So protect me from what's in front of me, but Hashem, protect me before I go to sleep. That when I go through my whole day, that I don't feel bad that I went to Minyan. And I don't feel bad that I don't talk to girls. And I don't feel bad that I got straight and I'm doing the right thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect me from that. And that's what a person has to do. So therefore, listen to this beautiful word. So Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu were inseparable. They were inseparable. So what does this mean that he cried a little? And why would the Torah tell you that? Okay, let's say he didn't like her. Let's say they didn't get along. The Torah shouldn't tell us that they didn't get along. He should say, oh, he felt so bad he couldn't sleep for 5 weeks. Why would the Torah tell us this? The Torah is telling us the biggest thing that ever happened in Judaism was Akedas Yitzchak. The biggest thing. The Satan lost. And if you look into last week's parasha, open up a Mav Lawyers, there's 15 pages of the Satan fighting with Avraham and Yitzchak to try to stop them. He made a river. He made a mountain. He did. He put everything in front of them that he could possibly put, that there should be no Akedah. And he lost. He went down. They did the Akedah. He lost. He said, okay, but it's not done yet. I'm going to kill Sari Menu. I'm going to show her everything that happened. She's going to die. So the minute Avraham Avinu came down from the mountain, the Satan ran to Avraham Avinu. What did he say? You killed your wife. What do you mean? She saw everything you did to your son. You think you did a mitzvah? She's dead. Now you have to bury her. Normal person would have turned around and said, I knew I shouldn't have done this. Okay, look what happened. I lost my wife and my son. My son's up in Shemayim. My wife's gone. I'm all alone. So the Satan came and he said to Avraham Avinu, you're a murderer. You killed her. Not only were you a murderer to kill your son, you killed your wife. And Avraham Avinu had a second over there of maybe feeling bad that because of the Akedah, now he lost his beautiful wife that he loved so much that he finally had a child with. So the Torah tells you he got up and he didn't even cry. He didn't even cry. Now, great question. What comes first when someone dies? The eulogy or the crying? What comes first? Crying. The hesped comes by the levaya. Someone gets a phone call, chas v'shalom, someone close to them died. He starts to cry. Why does the Torah tell you that first there was a eulogy and then he cried? And then he cried very little. The Torah should say he cried and then he said a eulogy. What was his eulogy? What did he say? What did he say about Sari Imenu? So the eulogy had to come first. He didn't cry at all. Because if he would have cried, they would have shown Hashem that he felt bad about the mitzvah of the Akedah, and he would have lost the whole Akedah. So he didn't cry at all. Something said, hey, your wife died. Do what you did. I'm not crying. I'm not going to feel bad about what I did. So he got up and he said a hesped. And he said, I want you all here to know that this death of my wife, she was going to die anyway. Because a person's time, we don't believe that bad news can cause a person to die. That's not Judaism. That's why that Rashi has to be translated differently. Bad news doesn't cause a person to die. And a heart attack doesn't cause a person to die. And what you eat doesn't cause you to die. There's a moment in life that a person's written when he's born, when he's going to leave this world. Okay, Rav Wallstein, so then you mean I could smoke? Because I'm going to die anyway? You mean I can eat anything I want? No. No, you can't. Because there's a derech hateva. There's a time that you're supposed to die if you live a normal life. If you decide to jump off a bridge, then it's not your time. So a person could die before his time because not always do you deserve, if you're going to sit and eat fatty foods and smoke cigarettes and drive a car without a seatbelt, then you need a miracle not to die. A miracle is very hard. We don't deserve a miracle. But Sari Imenu was perfect. So she wasn't dying because of some news. So Avraham Avinu said, everybody, calm down. Calm down. I didn't kill my wife. My wife was supposed to die today at 127 years old. This is when she was supposed to die. So what's the whole thing with the Akedah, with all the news, you know? The Inquirer and all the newspapers came out. Abraham kills Sarah. First tries to kill his son, unsuccessful, but kills wife. You know, everyone's buying it. The great Abraham, he's killing, you know, oh, big time. People magazine, this is big news. You know, Avraham was the big man at that time, you know. He got up, he said, let me tell you guys, I didn't kill her. She was supposed to die anyway. So why did the Satan do this whole thing? He did it so I should feel bad that because of me she died. So first he said the hesped. First he said she was supposed to die anyway. She was at Tzadekista. She died 127. Like she was as beautiful as a seven-year-old skin. She had no Averis like a seven-year-old. There was nothing wrong with her. But my wife died, so I have to cry. But I'm going to cry less than any normal husband would cry. To show the world and to show the Yetzirah that I don't feel bad that I did the Akedah. Therefore, the Torah wants to show that off to all of us. And the Torah wants to tell us that the Chaf is small because Avraham Avinu was saying to the Yetzirah, you're not getting me from the back. You're not going to make me feel bad about what I did. There are so many guys in this room that work so hard to change and then feel bad about changing and about what they did and give up all that work. It's just a trick. That guy's fault was he parked illegally. So he set that up. The Yitzhar didn't have a hard time setting that up. But even if you didn't do anything illegal, and you park in front of shul and someone hit you, it's just the Yitzhar to make you feel bad about what you did. You got to laugh him in the face. And it's got to be a small chuff. If you have to cry about what happened, that your car got smashed, it should be a little cry. It shouldn't be about that I went to shul, or that I did a mitzvah, that I did gemilas chesed, that I gave my money, and if I would have saved that money and I wouldn't have helped them, then I could have invested it, that whole tzedakah is gone. And that's the Yetzirah's power. And it's very sad, because really until you die, you don't really have them beat. Because at any point in your life, if you feel bad that you changed and you're missing that fun, then that whole change you lose. So he's very smart. Therefore, we need to daven to Hashem every night to protect me from the back. Protect me from feeling remorse about what I did. Okay.
What happens if you felt bad already and after listening to Rabbi Wallerstein, you regret that you felt bad? Do you get it back?
Sounds like it's a double reverse negative. Yeah, you should be a positive. Okay. Now, we go further in the parsha. It's a great parsha. It's the dating parsha. Right? So Avraham Avinu sends Eliezer. And Eliezer, for the guys who are dating, there's a lot of guys in here are dating. So you really see that the way it was set up here was Eliezer davened to Hashem and said, I'm looking for certain simanim. Hashem, show me the girl. Show me the simanim. Eliezer was Avram's eved, but he really left it up to Hashem. Yes, you have to go on a date, right? But the truth is, if you really leave it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your dating will be a lot easier. First of all, you can blame everything on him, on God. It's not my fault. She said no. It's your fault. It wasn't the right shidduch, you know? And we don't like to get no's. But the truth is that the more, and you see this, it's unbelievable, Pasha, that Eliezer comes, and the first girl that shows up, she says, right away is the right girl. He davened to Hashem. Now, what's very interesting about this story is Rivka. I have some amazing stories that I never said ever before tonight, and I really want to get to them, about saying amen and about davening. But I just want to talk about Rivka, because there is a lot of guys that are dating, and he really tells us what to look for in a girl, okay? So what happened here is, number one, she was not only a Baal Chesed, she was also extremely, extremely smart. Now, the big question here is, it says that when he came to the Be'er, to the well, so when she came to the well, the water came up on its own, which, by the way, is a Jewish thing, because from then on, Yaakov Avinu, when he came to the well by Rachel and Leah, the Medrash says the water came up. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came to Midian, the Medrash says the water came up. So, if you ever go on a date, right, and she walks by the water fountain, goes on its own, marry her. That's for sure. There's nothing to talk about. But this is very interesting. So, where's her, well, there's a famous story. What did she do over here? What did she do over here? I'll tell you a story that I had. I said this a long time ago. What did she do here? What happened over here is she was very smart. Because Eliezer came, right, and she said the following. She was very, very smart. Besides, she was very beautiful. Okay. Now, can I have a little water from your pitcher? She said, drink, my master. She gave him to drink. Now, when he finished drinking, she said, I want to also give them to drink. Her brilliance was, she had a big problem now. She had a whole pitcher of water. She was a shepherdess, so she was feeding animals, not humans, right? She had a whole pitcher of water. Now Eliezer comes to her and says, give me a little water. So she gives him the whole pitcher. Now he drinks from the pitcher. Now what she should do, being that she's a stranger and he drinks from a pitcher, and there's a lot of germs on there, she can't give it to another human to drink. She should pour it on the floor and get new water. But if she pours it on the floor, she's pretty much telling the guy in front of her, Eliezer, that you're diseased. It's an insult. She took a little bit from the pitcher, now she's going to pour it on the floor. So she right away thought, how am I going to use the water without spilling it out and not insult him? So she was very brilliant. She said, do you have camels? Let me give you camels to drink. Camels don't care if they have germs from a human being. So Eliezer realized that her midos were that she didn't want to embarrass him. What's the big deal? So pour it out. He understands it's germs. And then refill it. She right away thought, no, Let me get the camels. Let me give this water to the camels. I'm not going to waste the water. I'm giving it to the camels, and he won't be insulted. So he saw that she's very brilliant. And, of course, we know the Gemara, they figure out how much water she brought. It was, like, not normal. 10 camels, what they drink, it's like a bathtub each camel. And if you do the gallons for a little 3-year-old girl, it was just absolutely, you saw that she had great, unbelievable siyata d'shmaya. Okay. Now, so there's a story. A guy once came over to me on his first date, after his first date. He said, Reb Wallerstein, I went out with this girl tonight. I want to marry her. Now, guys do that every once in a while. You know, we're guys, you know, I met her, I love her, I want to marry her, done. I'm like, one bait? He's like, I don't have to go out anymore. I said, where'd you get this from? He says, I got it from your class. I said, you got it from my class? He says, yes, you gave a class on Chaya Sara, and you talked about Rivka, and you said what she did, and I have to tell you what happened tonight. I said, okay. He said, we go on the date, right, and I pull into the gas station, because I'm very low on gas. She jumps out of the car, right? She right away pays, you know, takes the gas thing, starts filling up my car, runs to my window and says, now that I'm filling your car, can I get you something to drink also? All right. Anyway, so, no, that's what happened here. That's what happened here. She fed, she gave him to drink. Oh, you mean she gave him to drink and then fill up the car. Okay, that would look a little weird, but okay. Very good. You're right. Good point. That's why I made her, that's why I made him go out with her another 8-9 times. Anyway, you have to know everything. I'll tell you the end of the story. The end of the story is she didn't marry, but she bought a gas station with a soda store. Became very wealthy. All right. Anyway, the main thing to look for in a girl, the main thing to look for in a girl is what Eliezer looked for, because he understood what Avram was looking for. The main thing to look for in a girl is Remidos. And her kindness, and also that she, and her thoughtfulness, and her sensitivity. There's a lot of sensitivity here. That yes, it was unbelievable that she fed all the camels, but that move, that sensitivity, not to embarrass Eliezer, that was really a major, major move, that he understood that she was sensitive, not to hurt somebody else. So, you know, just like a guy, you have to be careful. I always tell the girls, you know, the story with the tip, where this girl was going out on her fifth date, and she was, I told you, in the Marriott, in the windows of the world. And he didn't want to tip the waitress. And I told her that she should run for her life. Because he didn't understand. I'm paying $5 for a Diet Coke. So I'm paying $10 for 2 Diet Cokes. He said to her, it's on his fifth date, you know, why should we tip the waitress? $10 for 2 sodas? I should tip the waitress? So she thought that wasn't like really nice. She didn't know, was that not nice? I said, I don't understand. What did he say? Why not tip the waitress? So he said, because it's her job. So I said, so what is he gonna, what does he think your job is? How's he going to take care of you? If this girl is sitting at 11:30 at night, serving drinks, right, in a place that goes around slowly. You know that place goes around slowly. So she's probably dizzy after serving drinks for 4 hours in the Marriott, right? And you're not sensitive to understand that this girl probably has kids or whatever it is. She's serving drinks to pay her rent, right? So she's coming in and she sees this girl and this boy, right? She's serving you drinks. You're sitting there talking and laughing and having a good time. She's working tables. And he doesn't have the sensitivity that this is the way she makes her living off the tips, and he doesn't want to give her a tip. This is a guy you want to marry. Run for your life. And I'll tell you what happened. She ran for her life. Because I always say, if that was my daughter, she came home and told me such a story. So, but on the other side, has to be the same thing by the girl. The girl that you're going has to have sensitivity. So you have to watch how she talks to the waitress. She treats the waitress, or it's her job, like she's some, you know, or take back this food. It's not done well. Watch out, because she's going to do that to you. To watch out. She was a very, very sensitive person, Rivka. Very sensitive to the person's needs. And when a guy goes on a date with a girl, that's what he should look for. Forget about everything else. You have to look at her sensitivity and her chesed, and that she's a good person, because in the end, that's what you really need more than anything else. You need a good person, you need someone that's sensitive. Both ways. It works both ways. Okay. Anyway, I'm not giving a dating class tonight. So the Parsha goes on and says that she met Yitzchak in the field when he was davening. I want to talk a little bit tonight, a very wild story. I'm on, TorahAnytime.com. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of phone calls Sunday, because actually when I read this story, it was like, this is one of Avos Chaim's stories that is so out of the box that even I was like, whoa. So listen carefully to this story. He says the following. Before we go to that story, I just want to tell you very fast that I came across this week. It's interesting that he brings it down, Avos Chaim. I'm coming across this, and I'm sure you're all involved in this, and this is the friend thing. You know, no matter what the Rebbe says, no matter what you do, your friend is your friend, and I have friends. And I know where it's coming from, and I understand it, and I respect it. You know, that you'll fight the world for your friend. You'll fight Hashem, the Torah, your parents, and anybody, because he's my friend, and he's there for me. And my parents are not there for me, and nobody else is there for me. And this guy is really there for me. And I have this with girls and with boys. I think that's the hardest thing. The Yetzer Hara is very smart. Yetzer Hara, if he wants to ruin a kid or ruin a person, he sends him to a bad friend. Because once you become a friend with him, nobody can separate you. Nobody can separate. You can separate a guy from his movies. You can separate a guy from girls. You can separate a guy from anybody. You cannot separate a guy from his best friend. So if his best friend is rotten, his best friend's into drugs, his best friend's a drug dealer, he's going to do drugs, and he's going to become a drug dealer. So the Yetzer Hara, when he wants to take a guy down, what does he send him? Not a movie, not a magazine. He sends him a bad friend. That's why it says, "Harchek mishachin ra umechaver ra." Stay away from a bad neighbor and a bad friend. So I want to tell you, this is one of the most, this is not the story that's out of the box. It's such a true story, and I know that at the end of the story, everyone's going to say, Rabbi Wallerstein, not me, not him. They're different. You know, those are the two words. Two words that get girls into trouble, and the two words that get boys into trouble. You don't understand. That's not the two words. That's the first two words. You don't understand, Rabbi Wallerstein. He's different. You don't understand, Rabbi Wallerstein. She's different. Nobody's different. The Torah tells us what to do and the guidelines. They know, that's my wife's ring, that they know, the Yetzer Hara knows that nobody's different. But that's the answer that every single guy that I talk to. So when it comes to friends, Rabbi Wallerstein, you're right. One person told me this week, he looked at me and he said, you don't understand my relationship with my friend Rabbi Wallerstein. I don't want to hurt you. You never had a friend like I have. He told me to my face. You don't even understand what a friend means. I'm like, what, he shares his drugs with you? Yeah, you're right. I don't have a friend like that. What does that mean? I never had a friend like that. How do you know what kind of friend I had? Actually, I had a friend in my days, right? In my days. I don't know if I should say this on video. But I had a friend, and I was in camp. We were both 18 years old. And in those days, it was very cool to be Indian blood brothers. We're talking a long time ago. How do you become an Indian blood brother? You have to cut yourself a little bit, and you mix blood. You don't do that today. Don't try that at home. Don't try that anywhere, okay? Where did this Mishugas come from? Because I used to read Hardy Boy books. And in the Hardy Boy books, there were blood brothers. So me and this Mishugan, both of us Mishugan kids, at 18, we mixed blood. So I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, you think you have a friend with the last guy you mixed blood with, you know? He wouldn't have understood that. Forget about it. So he's telling me, you don't understand what a friend is. And I understand that the Yetzer Hara is burning inside. Yetzer Hara is telling him, he doesn't understand. This guy's really a friend. This guy is destroying this friend. This kid is a good kid. This guy is taking him down to the lowest part of Gehenna. And he just, you don't understand him. He's really a good guy. I'm like, you're right. I don't understand him, but he's not, like my Rebbe Gamliel says, look at the product. Look at the product. Product's good, ingredients are good. Product's poison, there's poison in those ingredients. You don't take chocolate and yeast and flour, put it in a cake, and make poison. If there's poison coming out of that cake, then poison went into that cake. Somebody poisoned that cake. So therefore, a person, what's going on here tonight? We're so busy here, what's going on? With all my rings. So what's going on over here? So I said to him, okay, he's a good kid. Look what you're doing. Look what he's doing to you. He's putting poison into you. How's poison coming out of you? You're not poison. So Baruch Hashem, he's not Baruch Hashem, he's not here tonight. He happens not to be here tonight, but I hope to give him the tape. Baruch Hashem, Hashem always helps me. When I have such situations during the week and I prepare a shir, it's the answer is right here. So listen to this story. I'm not the only one that has this problem. Pamachas hayechad asher nichbad. There was a person who was very rich. Baal tzedakah v'hayir shemayim. He was a big tzaddik. And he had one child. He was married for 20 years to one woman. And he had one child. He says, this child The parents were very careful with him. They had one, Ben Yochid, right? He was very careful. But he wanted to get out, and he wanted to have friends, especially an only child. He doesn't have brothers. He doesn't have sisters. So he wants to hang out. So he began to hang out. He got his father's money. Nothing's changed. And he spent the money. And he was very wealthy, this kid. So he was the guy with the Black American Express card. So all of a sudden, all the guys became his friends. And he used to take them to bars. And he used to take them out to eat. And when his father said they were bad for you, you see, these are old stories and it's just the same thing, doesn't change. Listen to what he said. He said that it's not true. His father said, they're just using you. They just look like they love you to use you. But if you were ever in trouble, they'd be the first guys to rat you out. And you're all like, no, not my friend, Rob Wildstein. Ah, he would never rat me out. Sure. When the cops tell him that he's getting 20 years, right, and he's only 19 years old, which means he's going to be in jail till he's 39 years old, unless he talks on the other guys, he ain't sitting for 20 years for you. Even though you're all thinking, no, 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 Rob Wildstein doesn't understand. Been there, done that. I've sat in the rooms in the police stations, and I've watched kids just rat out their best friends because they thought they were going down. And this is what this father told his son. And his son said, not my friends, right? Okay, I know this is not like last week's share. You don't like to hear this because, you know, I'm messing with something really sensitive to everybody in here. I'm really sticking a needle into that friend thing. But you have to hear this because it's really important. Listen to what happens. So the father says to the son, very smart man, he says to the son, okay, you say your friends love you. How many friends do you have? He says, Shishim. I have 60 best friends. So you can imagine how much money this guy, he was really taking care of the boys. They were going limos to AC, you know, comp, the rooms were comp, the food was comp, everything, a real good friend, you know, great. I have 60 friends. So the father says to him, you have 60 friends? He says, I think I have a half a friend. Father was 80 years old. I think I have a half a friend. And you? At your age, as a young kid, you have 60 friends? He goes, yeah, Dad, you're just not a friendly guy. But I'm a friendly guy. I have 60 friends. Listen to what the father did. Okay. So the father said, I'm 80 years old. I'm an old man, and I only have a half a friend. He says, okay, this is what we're going to do. He says, we're going to check out. We're going to test your friends. He says, okay. He bet his father. He says, Dad, you'll see that my friends are much better than your half a friend. Father said, okay. He went into the back and he took out a lamb. Listen to this amazing story. This is a very smart father. He took out a lamb and he shechted it. And he took the head of the lamb and he skinned it. And that was full of blood. And he took the head of the lamb and he put it into a sack. Then he took the blood and he smeared it all over his son's hands and his son's clothing. And he put the head of the lamb in a sack. And he said, he took a big huge sword, dipped it in the blood, and put the sword in the kid's hand. And the kid looked at his father and says, now what am I supposed to do? He said, now I want you to go to your best friend's house, and I want you to tell him a story, and let's see how good he is. Okay. The son said, okay, you'll see. So, Vayamalo, listen to what happens. He comes to his friend's house, this is Nairidik. Vayamalo, at the Torah, Slevesa, Shalom, Shalcha, go run. The father says, go run to your best friend. He loves you so much. And go there and make believe you just killed somebody. Okay. So he goes to his friend's house. And he comes to the door. He knocks on the door. His friend, Vayiftach Chaveros Adeles, the friend opens the door. Vayareo Shepanov Zayafim. He sees that this boy, his face is very dejected, very depressed. And he's holding a sword. And his clothing is full of blood. And he's got holding a bag. It looks like there's a head in there. And it's dripping blood. So the guy who owns the house, his best buddy, best friend, says, what's going on over here? He says to him, L'man Hashem, please God, open the door. So that I could run into your house and hide from the police. Mikra kazeh loy kerli ba'olam. This never happened to me. I was walking, and this man was running after me. He had a sword. I beat him up. I took his sword. I cut off his head, so that when the police find him, they don't know who he is. So I have his head in the bag. So his friend says to him, are you crazy? He says, are you crazy? He says, yeah, I'm running away from the police. Let me in. He says, no way. He says, just let me in for tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'm out of your house. Just when you're in the streets looking for the murderer, let me in. He says, listen, your Didi, my loved one, my buddy, my man, you know, my boy. What's up? Just like you're scared of the cops. I'm also scared of the cops, man. I got a family, man. You know, if I get caught, who's going to feed my wife and my kids? Ever hear that before? Like, you know, I can't take the hit for you. But anyway, it's a Shetavio like Zera. I don't want that I should be in trouble with you. Ulechein, Avak Sheikh, I'm begging you, if you're my real friend, he tells the guy with the head in his hand, Shastalik Mamakan, run, get out of here. If you're my real friend, don't get me in trouble. You kill somebody, you handle it, you get out of here. You believe such a story? The story sounds like it's unbelievable? It's very believable. I've seen it over and over and over again. But Yisko Hadalas Alpanov, he slammed the door in his face. And he left him in the street. All right, Dad was right about him. He's a loser anyway. I got 59 other guys to go to. So, we'll make it happen. And a whole night, he goes from one house to the next house, and he gets the same thing. My parents are home. I can't hide you. I'm going to get in trouble. You know what I mean? I just started college. You don't want to get me kicked out of college. I just started going out with this girl. She might be the right one. If she finds out I hang out with a murderer. All the excuses. 60 different excuses. Not one guy left him in the house. Okay. He said by the time he got to the third guy, he didn't even get to finish half his story. By the time he said half his story, they already threw him out. Okay. Nope. But there's a second half to the deal. So he came home. And he said, Dad, you're right. He says, not yet. Now go to my friend. Go to my friend and go knock on his door. Okay? You got it. So he went. He went to the half a friend of his father. He knocked on the door. And he told him the same thing. I cut a guy's head off. I skinned it. I don't want anyone to see it. Can you put me up? He said, my hair, hurry up. He called us Labayas. Come inside the house. Don't scream. Don't make any noise. And he took the bag with the head in it and the knife. And he hid it in the corner. In his garden. He gave him hot water to wash his body. He gave him new clothing. And he hid him in a room. And he said, Bini, my son. First he took care of him. Then he said, Ma'asisa, what did you do? What's going on over here? It's not good what you did here. And it's not good for your father. Your father's a tzaddik. You're going to get your father into big trouble. Now tell me again what happened. And he told him again what happened. He said, okay, tonight stay in my house. Tomorrow we'll go to shul, we'll daven. That Hashem should save Klal Yisrael. That you killed a person and you're a Jew. We're all going to get into trouble. So he's thinking right away of the good of this kid. First, let's get you cleaned up. First, let's make sure nobody catches you. Then let's go daven for you. Let's go take care of you. And then we'll see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Okay? So the kid realized what his father had said was right. So he turned over. He wasn't going to stay all night by this guy. So he told him, he said to this half a friend, he said, listen, I don't want to stay. I want to go home. He says, no, I'm not letting you go home. So he said, no, I want to go home. So he went home. And he went home with this guy together, with this old man, who was the half-friend. And they came to his father. And the Bachar saw the love between his father and this half-friend that wasn't based on eating, drinking, fun, money. And he realized what the Mishnah says, that of ahava shetluya bedava, a love and a friendship that's based on something. He does this for me. He does that for me. When that something is in jeopardy, the friend disappears. Friend disappears. I know a guy that was friendly with another guy. They were friends for 5 years. Then this guy's sister got married. And also this guy never heard from the other guy. And he found out that this friend that he was friendly with really wanted to marry this guy's sister. And he thought that as long as he hangs around the house, his sister's going to look at him, they're going to get to talk to each other. And the minute the sister got married, he said, I don't need this guy as a friend. His sister's married. There's no more sister for me. If the whole reason the friendship is based on something, then when what's based is gone, the friendship's gone. When the ava is not based on anything, it's just a friendship between two people who don't want anything from the other guy. That's a friendship that lasts forever. So when you have a bad friendship with a guy that's taking you down, think about it tonight. What does he want from me? What does he get from me? And if he gets anything from you, then he's the wrong friend. If it's about money, your sister, your car, your house, or any other thing that he's getting from you, then that's not a real friendship. Then when chas v'shalom, when the chips are down and you need a real friend, he's not going to be there for you. And if that friend's the guy that's taking you down, run for your life. Run for your life. You see the story here. I'm not telling you to test it out like this, because I don't advise you walking around with blood on your shirt and everything else. But think about if you came to your friend in the middle of the night, chas v'shalom, and said, I think I killed somebody by accident. Could I come here and sleep here tonight? How many of them would say, no problem, but the cops are chasing me, man. I'm just telling you, they're looking for me. How many guys would say, it's okay, come to the basement, I'll watch you, I'll take care of you. Tomorrow we'll get a lawyer, you know what I mean? Or how many going to say, listen, you killed somebody? And at my house, you know, like, you know, the cops are after you, like have a good day. That's not your friend. So it may be a little bit of a boring subject, but it's a very big subject, because the Yetzer Hara, one of his biggest koiches, is to lead you to the wrong friends. A person who has good friends ends up being a good person. A person who has bad friends ends up being a bad person. You know, everybody comes to me and they say, oh, Wallerstein, you're in Kiruv, kids off the derech. What's the main reason you could attest why kids are off the derech? Give us the main reason. Is it the Rebbe? Is it the parents? Is it America? What is it? 9 out of 10, it's the friends. You could have the best parents from the best yeshiva and everything's perfect. And one bad friend, you're done. So the Yetzer Hara knows this. So he sends you that bad friend. Not a bad person. Everyone's good. Everyone can do tshuva. Everyone's a tzaddik. But not for you. Not for this cake. Don't put poison in my cake. Poison sometimes can be good. It's good for rats. Kills them. Right? Sometimes a little poison at a time, a little venom from a snake, builds antibodies, but not for you. But not for you. You can't handle poison. So if he's going to be about tshuva and he's going to change, Baruch Hashem, I'll be his friend after that. Now, it's the biggest weapon. I'm dealing with this for the last, I don't know, probably last year. The biggest weapon. Guys use it on girls. They keep telling the girls that because of you, I go to Davin, because you are a better guy. And they girls, they fall for this every single time. Rabbi Wallerstein, he's no good. He does everything wrong. But you don't understand, since I'm in his life, he goes to Minyan in the morning. And they really get carried away. They'll go with any, I'm giving you hints I shouldn't give you. But, you know, and they think that they're changing this guy, and they're not changing this guy. He's just waiting to hunt until he gets her. And then he goes further and he does what he has to, you know, he continues in his life. You don't change for a girl. It doesn't last. You change for Hashem. Because, again, if you're changing for an object, if the object changes, you get into the first fight with her, you're done. You're throwing her off, everything's off. If I'm only religious because of her, she gave me a hard time with her mother. They both gave me a hard time. And the reason I married her, right, was only because of this, that, and the other thing. If this, that, and the other thing go, I'm out of here. So the basis of a marriage can't be on something that's tluy v'dava. It has to be on a person that you feel is potential, and that you can grow with. And that's the reason. If it's a person's beauty, the person doesn't stay beautiful. If it's a person's brilliance, the person doesn't always have a chance to use their brilliance. It has to be a person's midos. Because midos don't change. Nobody can change their midos for someone else. You should know that. If you have a temper, you have a temper. And you have to work on it a very long time to change your